recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Welcome in hour number 3 of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the great Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com. Jim, what's going on, my man? How are we doing?
Not too much. Good morning. Hope you guys are doing well.
We are doing very well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. How's that Palm Beach weather been down there? Looks pretty good.
It was nice. Yeah, it reminded me I need to go on vacation at some point, seeing the ocean and seeing the blue skies and the nice ocean breeze. Pretty. Can't complain.
Absolutely. So, Jim, obviously a lot coming out down there. We'll get your thoughts on most of it come up here in just the next few minutes. I want to start on the A.J. Brown situation. We were talking about this yesterday here on the show. Obviously, it's been a pretty good offseason to be a wide receiver. Davante Adams getting huge money, Tyreek Hill getting huge money, and A.J., obviously the Titans would be interested in signing him to a new deal. What do you think that the price tag is starting to look like for a guy like A.J. Brown in this league, and how big of a priority is that for John Robinson this offseason?
Well, I mean, price tag, as you mentioned, I mean, the receivers are getting paid big money, so you know him with the success he's already starting to have and the future that I think he envisions for himself and I think they envision for him. I mean, he's going to get paid well when that time comes. I do think it's a priority, but, you know, this team has worked through a lot of other things here of late, certainly up against it from a cap standpoint, still going to have to do some work to give itself some breathing room to kind of make it happen down the road. But there's no question the Titans want to keep him, and I think A.J. Brown wants to be in Nashville. John Robinson has tried to re-sign guys, and Harold Landry, the most recent proof, you know, guys who that they draft and that has kind of been what they're all about. I think A.J. Brown fits that category, and, and then John's made it pretty clear that that's something they plan to do. So, now it's just kind of a question of when that could transpire.
Jim, I think the only with this 2022 team, the only real area that I am not totally clear, I think, on how it will look would be the offensive line at this point. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, the Titans may add a receiver, a tight end, or both in the draft, but the offensive line is the one area where I'm still not totally sure how it will look, what they will do in the draft to address it. Do you feel? I think it was, you know, your question, I believe, to Vrabel that sort of made me think it sounded a little bit more definitive that, you know, that maybe Raidens will be getting, you know, first crack at right tackle. Do you think that's the case? And how do you think it will look? How do you think it will be addressed in the draft?
Well, I think a lot of things are in play, and maybe a question that prompted some discussion is when I asked Vrabel about Jamarco Jones, and he talked about his history with him, but then he also, when addressing where he envisions him playing, he said he imagines him maybe starting at left guard, and then went on to say some more things about it. I think some people heard that and said, okay, this guy's going to play left guard. So what's happened at tackle? And the reality is he said, you know, that's where they plan to start him in the competition. I don't think certainly not pinning on this guy to come in here and be the starter. He said everybody's got to earn it. So Jamarco Jones is going to start in the competition at left guard and see where he goes from there. And then that does leave Raidens as the potential right tackle. But some other guys are in play, certainly at the guard spot. I think Aaron Brewer, you just can't completely dismiss him. And I do think that offensive line is still very much in play in the draft. I mean, when you pick a guy like Raidens that early, you know, he's he's pretty much, you need him to play. I mean, that's what you draft him to do. That's a high draft pick. So, yeah, I think he needs to be this team's starting right tackle, but he's been, you know, his comfort level's on his left, so he's going to have to make some adjustments to his game to get where they want him to be. He's going to get a chance to prove that, but I still think someone's going to be added. It's just a matter of whether it's at 26 or whether it's somewhere down the road. And then until David Quisenberry signed him, I guess he's always another guy that's a possibility until he ends up on another roster. So there's going to be competition there, and there's going to be new additions there, I think.
Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jim, we've talked so much to you heading into this offseason about the tight end position. What do you make of the signing of Austin Hooper?
Well, I like Hooper. I mean, I think he gives them a dynamic threat that they didn't have last year. And I think if we sit here today on, what is this, March the 31st, I mean, they're better at tight end than they were last year, which is good. And you still hadn't had the draft, and you still got the potential to do more. So, I mean, with Swaim and with Hooper, that's a good twosome. And then there's some guys that I think are intriguing behind them. I mean, they've always kind of liked Tommy Hudson. Injury derailed him last year. Same with Briley Moore, who I thought flashed a little bit in the offseason before he got hurt. You know, Brian Izzo, Austin Fort, a couple of more guys that will compete. I still don't know that they're done there. I still think that's an area that they could add more. And I think that's an area they still need help, because while I like some of those guys that I mentioned behind Hooper and Swaim, I think they're obviously still very much unproven. So when I look at the draft, which is now less than a month away, I mean, I still think receiver, offensive line, tight end are my top three as far as needs and what I think should be addressed.
Jim, is this the craziest NFL offseason you've ever seen?
It is. I mean, it's crazy just how much has happened in the AFC. I mean, I don't know that it's necessarily over with either. But you know, the Russell Wilson stuff and the Devontae Adams stuff and the Sean Watson, move to Cleveland. I mean, it's just so many big splash moves, and all of them affect the Titans. I mean, Titans played some of these teams last year that have been impacted by trades. They're obviously going to compete with these teams in the AFC to try to get to the playoffs and then ultimately go further than last season. Every once in a while, you'll see some off seasons a big splash here or there, but these have been going off everywhere, and it really has been crazy. I've talked to a lot of the national guys at the owners meetings who just are exhausted. I mean, because they can't, and not that if you cover the NFL, you can never turn it off. But some of these national reporters, talk about how in free agency they just never leave the house because you just can't be caught out of pocket because a story is either developing or it's a story seems imminent. Or a story has just happened, and you're pretty much on call to react and respond to it.
Jim, what do you think of the new overtime rule in the postseason, giving both teams at least one possession of the football?
I thought you were asking about the Vanderbilt's new logo.
that's me next.
The new overtime procedure I like. I mean, I did wonder whether anything would happen because going in, I heard that there were so many different opinions across the league and in the room that of what they should do. And because of that, I thought they'd have a hard time coming to a resolution. Ultimately what they did, I think, is good because it does keep, the most important games from being decided by a coin flip. But, I hope that at some point it gets to where that's a regular season change as well, because I don't want to see games end in ties. I don't want to see games end where I feel like one team didn't get a fair shot. So it's a good step, and I don't want to see what happened in that Buffalo Kansas City game happen again. But I hope we get to a point where that's, you know, a rule that's across the board, and those type of things are a thing of the past.
So you're still mad about the logo?
Yeah, I don't know if I'll ever. You know, I shouldn't have. I've kind of regretted saying so much about it, because I sent out a tweet the first day it came out, and then people realized, hey, Jim White's not a guy that necessarily has voices, strong opinions on stuff like that. So any time I've been on, people have asked me about it, and I've had some things to say. So I'm past the anger and upset. I just am just still just shaking my head in disappointment, just because I am, I guess, old school and love the Star of V logo, and, you know, Vanderbilt talking so much about wanting to be different, and all they've done is turn into exactly what these other teams like Virginia and, you know, Villanova and Valparaiso and any team or any school that's got a V, they've got a V as their logo. So Vanderbilt has joined those teams. They're not different by any stretch. So I'm disappointed. I've been wearing my Vandy Star of V visor down here this week, and people recognize them, and they see, that's Vandy. I don't think it's going to be like that with this new lowercase V.
Jim, last thing for you here. John McClain announcing his retirement today from the Houston Chronicle. He's been covering the NFL for the Chronicle for the past 47 years, and I know he's someone that you know well. Just your thoughts on his retirement and what he's meant to the game of football.
Well, he's just been so great in the business, and certainly will be missed. And I'm curious to see what may be next for him. I don't know that John's necessarily going to ride off into the sunset, even though he's retiring. So we'll kind of see what happens there. But, you know, I talked to John, you know, and I talked to John on a very regular basis. He's been so very good to me, and obviously tied to him because of the Titans being in Houston. And so I go back with John from the first day I got on the beat, but, you know, way back in 99, and he's always been so good to me. I mean, he's got so many stories that it's incredible. You know, he's got such great institutional knowledge, not only about the Oilers Titans franchise, but about the league. But, you know, the main thing is that when John Clayton passed away, suddenly a couple of, you know, weeks ago, it just really hit me hard, because he's another one of those guys that always looked after young reporters and was always kind. So when John told me a week or so ago that he was going to retire, I kind of went to a little bit of a spill with him and said, John, you know, I've regretted that I didn't tell John Clayton how much I appreciated him, when he was still here, and I wanted to tell you how good you've been to me. And he kind of stopped me, like, hey, I'm not dying here. I'm just retiring. But I wanted to tell him how much he has meant to me, and how good he's been to me, and how appreciative I am for everything he's done to me, because he is. And I think he's like that with a lot of people. He's a great guy, really good reporter, great storyteller. And I'm anxious to see what is maybe next for him. I hope we're not going to hear, this is not the end of hearing from John McClain from a professional level. It won't be from a friendship standpoint, but I think you'll continue to hear from him, hopefully, and I sure hope I do.
Very well said. Jim Wyatt, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. Jim, great stuff. Go get you some sleep, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Okay. You guys have a great day. Thank you.
Absolutely. Jim Wyatt from TennesseeTitans.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rexro. We'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rexro here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. John McClain announcing his retirement from the Houston Chronicle. 47 years at the Chronicle covering the NFL. That's a pretty good run down there for John McClain. I agree with Jim. like he's going to be around doing something in the NFL. But you talk about one of the voices of the NFL, John McClain, certainly that.
Yep. Fantastic. I mean, you know, incredible career, longevity, perspective. I mean, he, you know, for people who followed along with the Oilers moving here, you know, John McClain covered that was out front on the coverage of that, you know, pretty much consistently, and a lot of other things, and just an amazingly awesome guy too. Someone who, you know, get him going, and you know the stories are just pouring out of him, going back to like the love you Blue Oilers and Bud Adams, and I mean he's got stories for days. I bet you he's, and I'm gonna find out about this. I'm sure a lot of people find out today, like exactly what's going on. I'm sure retiring from the Chronicle, continuing to do a lot of, because he does a lot of radio, podcast stuff, things like that. I've got to think he's going to continue with that. I hope so.
Oh, yeah. And tweets are pouring in all over the place. J.J. Watt just tweeted and said, an absolute legend of the game. What a career. Congrats, John McClain. Enjoy retirement. I mean, he's been doing this at a high level for a long time. So wish him the best in retirement, and interested to see, you know, what's next for John McClain, as Jim Wyatt put it out there in the last segment. What do you think of what Jim had to say there about the kind of the needs heading into the draft for the Titans? He listed it out there as wide receiver, offensive line, tight end, still three positions that he's looking at. Do you have it pegged that way in that order? What are your thoughts on what Jim Wyatt had to say there in that last segment?
So I won Jared versus Joe yesterday, as usual. And although Caroline initially was going to give it to Jared and then quickly came to her senses. Thank you, Caroline. But she asked that question about the draft, and Jared was hard line, like it has to be a right tackle. And I mentioned receiver, as Jim just did there too. Now, I do hear the argument that Jared made, and he cited Floyd, the idea, like if you draft a receiver in the first round, you are essentially, with the number 26 overall pick, bringing in a number 3 receiver.
Well,
so I get the thinking there, like, why would you do that? Don't you need to bring in a number 1 something else? I get that. I guess I just look at it like, you know, Robert Woods, I don't think is a long-term, maybe I'm wrong, he may be a long-term number 2 receiver who produces very well for an extended period of time, but I look at him more like a good stopgap, you know, a good short-term addition. I think you've got to get another player at that position. And, again, I think you've got to get speed. I think they just lack someone who scares safeties. So that's why I think you have to look at that. And then you look in tandem with the quality of the receiver position in the draft, and it makes sense. But I'm okay with the idea of a tackle or a guard. I don't think at tight end – makes too much sense, although Trey McBride just ran like a 4.5 at Colorado State Pro Day. It's amazing. Like, you know, these pro
times
days
are way different.
Yeah, Valus Jones ran a 3.9 at the at the Vols Pro Day. But but I don't think
– disapparated and showed back up around there. Yeah.
Yeah, he
Harry
actually –
Potter joke. Sorry, it was bad.
No, that was good. Yeah, he ran a negative .03. He actually finished before they blew the whistle at his Pro Day. It was incredible. I just don't know if tight end makes sense at that pick, but the hard line they have to draft right tackle, like I said, is, well, okay, so you're giving up on Raidens. They certainly are not. Now, I don't know that they're convinced that Raidens is a guy, like Jim said, and this stuff has to be figured out on the field. The problem is you draft before anything's going to be figured out on the field.
Yep.
So you have to have some kind of an idea if you're the Titans. I mean, hey, I'm keeping up on a daily basis with the strength coaches. How's Dylan doing? You know, I mean, you want every indication you can that he actually might be able to be your starting right tackle. If that's not the indication, then I'm okay going there at that pick.
I guess that would make sense. I'm here to tell you the reaction if they take a right tackle is going to be quite something. I will be here for it.
That's why I can't wait, like, for our draft show, because the reaction, and I hope they take a right tackle.
Yeah.
Because, like, last year, like, Jared's reaction to the whole thing was amazing. But, like, the entire Titans Nation would be screaming, and apparently Jared would be like, yes! right tackle again! That is the pick to make, baby! Let's go! So I'm in for that, too. Well, I think it would tell you what they think of Raiden's if they did.
Well, it tells me either they think he's going to be the starting left guard, or they're not excited about him at all.
Or the non-starting nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I think it's possible. I mean, they're certainly going to take an offensive lineman within their first two or three picks. I would be shocked if they didn't. Problem is, you don't have a second rounder. So you're taking an offensive lineman at that point. If it's not first round, it's third round or it's fourth round, unless you trade back up and get another pick, which we can't forecast and see coming right now. So, look, I've been consistent. I want a receiver if I'm the Titans. I understand you've already got Robert Woods. He is coming off an ACL. Get as much receiving depth as you can get. If you got a bona fide stud receiver there, go get the receiver. That's my thought. I know not everybody's going to agree with that. And if they end up taking an offensive lineman, it's not going to be a popular pick around here. I would understand why they would do it, though. Like, I'm not going to totally close the door on an offensive lineman being selected.
Well, I agree. I think ideally you do believe in Dylan Raiden's. You do think he's going to get the job done. You do look at the work he put in, understand he missed a whole year of football, all this stuff, and you're like, okay, he's going to be okay. Yep. Now, how can you know? You can't know right now. But ideally, that's the feeling you have based on all the information that, and they have a ton more than we do, on his daily everything. And then if you go offensive line, you go with someone who could potentially be your starting left guard, potentially be your Ben Jones replacement. Because the receiver, if you draft a receiver, I mean, that's your long-term, if you get the right one, that's your long-term Robin to A.J. Brown's Batman. And you need that. Maybe this year it's a number three guy and he has to come along, but you have to think forward here too.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Get into crazy story down in Tampa Bay as well, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on?
Well, I am yet to meet a man that enjoys the pill for erectile dysfunction, going to the pharmacy, awkward conversations with the doctor, and then, of course, the side effects. If you're out there frustrated in the bedroom, Hillside Medical Clinic is eliminating all of that negative with acoustic wave therapy. This technology uses pressure waves that open up and regrow the blood vessels. Just imagine healthier blood vessels in this part of the body. That's the true root cause problem of ED, and that's what we're solving.
So, Andrew, what kinds of studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
What's so great is that this technology at Hillside Medical is heavily vetted by the scientific community, universities, hospitals. In fact, there are over 50 third-party studies showing basically that it works. It's safe and effective. There are no side effects. I believe this is the future of treating erectile dysfunction.
And Andrew, you have a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
We really do. Guys, if you're ready to regain your love life, ED doesn't get better on its own. Call us now this morning. We'll set you up for an exam assessment and the blood flow ultrasound free. There's zero obligation, by the way. You'll also get a gift. You'll love this. It produces immediate results in the bedroom. It's worth hundreds of dollars, totally no charge.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvick are with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
So Pat McAfee, I didn't even realize he's a pro wrestler. He's actually, he looked like he was pretty good at it.
Yeah.
With all the histrionics and the weird expressions and stuff, throwing people around. What a beefy punter, you know?
Yeah.
Good for you, Pat McAfee. You know, this brings to mind something that Chase McCabe tweeted the other day, which I think is a great point. And it was actually a retweet of the fact that there's going to be massive economic impact. I forget the number, but a huge impact for WrestleMania on the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
New stadium here, WrestleMania here.
Oh, it happened.
Big yeah. money. Big. There's another one. There's an event we failed to mention as we went through all the events.
Yeah. Pat McAfee apparently taking on Austin Theory coming up at WrestleMania 38. That'd be something.
I mean, I have no idea who Austin Theory is, but sounds awesome. Pro wrestling?
Nah. No? Not a big fan of it.
I made the mistake of making that a rant one day.
Yeah, you did. That went well. You want to do it again?
But the point being, I get it. I think it's fun. The point being, it should not be. All I was saying was that ESPN should not be reporting results of the matches like it's actual competition.
Well, if you would like to light up Joe Rex Road on the text line, do so. 615-737-1025.
I mean, the Ultimate Predator called us immediately.
I know.
He called us immediately, and I said, dude, I agree with you on why it's fun, and it's like it's soap operas for adults. You know, whatever. It's great. It's fun. But we should not be reporting like the ticker of who won the quote-unquote match, who won the quote-unquote competition. That's all I'm saying.
You don't think it's a sport?
Oh, it's not a sport. No.
Did you just say that?
I want to get you riled up.
Do you think it is a sport?
Not particularly.
It's incredibly athletic.
Sure.
I mean, it's preordained, staged, scripted, incredibly athletic and fun entertainment.
There you go.
There was nothing wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with that. Don't put on the ticker who won the matches.
Here come the texts.
Unless Pat McAfee wins, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, me too. I'll watch it just because of him.
Yeah, I mean, is that going to become like a get-up topic? Is Pat McAfee
the greatest
moving up the ranks of the contenders?
I don't know. Guy's made a decent living for himself after punting in the NFL. I know that.
No doubt.
Good gracious.
Who knew that punting in the NFL would be like his it's like his college internship compared to what he's doing now, man. Banking.
LD from McMinnville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Have the Titans ever had an absolute burner at wide receiver? I can't remember one. This is coming from LD on the text line.
Well, that was the intent in drafting Taywan Taylor. He had good speed. But there's more to it than just good. He didn't have, like, incredible speed. But he had good speed, but there's a lot more to it than that, right? Kendall Wright was pretty fast.
Yeah.
But was he a burner? No.
No.
I don't know. You tell me. Have the Titans had a
Tyrone
burner?
Calico was pretty fast. And
Calico was fast.
Could never stay healthy.
Calico was fast. That's a good call. Someone actually threw him out on the text line because we failed to mention him the other day. Now, he might be the fastest, just right, just like pure speed on the field,
yeah.
That I can think of that they've had. They had a lot of good. I mean, well, I shouldn't say they've had a lot of good receivers. They've had
good
some
receivers.
Great receivers. Derek Mason's a great receiver. AJ Brown now is. It's been slim pickings, but yeah, even last year, I guess. Well, the idea with Julio Jones is that if he's fully Julio Jones, then there's more of that vertical threat. Which wasn't really there, but they just I think it's important for them to add that to the offense.
Let's go back to the text line. Jason from Mount Juliet texting in says, I flip back and forth on receiver and offensive line with the first pick. I think going receiver would be good, not only to help this season, but also to have depth in case they can't re-sign A.J. Brown. That's coming from Jason from Mount Juliet.
And there is that, too. I mean, I think of it in terms of here's your long-term pairing with A.J. Brown, but it also could be, here's your replacement because it just didn't work out with A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
Which is possible.
Got a texture that says Khalif Raymond had quite a few burner plays.
Khalif Raymond did. Good speed.
I don't know that number five or six wide receiver is quite what I'm talking about here.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he had the huge touchdown at Baltimore in the playoff win. Big play. That was also, a lot of that was also the deception in that play and the fact that the Ravens bit so badly on it. But He did give them the occasional deep shot, just something to make a safety think.
Chris Sanders, a lot of people talking about Chris Sanders.
Chris Sanders was fast.
He was real fast.
Yes.
But that's about it.
Right.
That's about where that conversation
we're
started.
Reaching pretty far back on Sanders and Calico.
It's been a while. And again, Khalif Raymond, yeah, he was really fast. But again, it's like your number five or six receiver.
Yeah. It's and I'm talking about a heavy volume, heavy usage receiver who, again, can do more than just be fast, but also scares defenses.
Yeah.
What would that do for this offense? Look, I mean, Jameson Williams, he's coming off the ACL. I don't know what he'll be in the NFL, but I do know that he has that kind of speed.
Yeah. He looks pretty good out there, by the way. Had a video come out, which as you know, Jared pointed this out on Twitter yesterday, too. Every time
you get on Twitter? Tell me about it, because I wouldn't know.
In the pre-draft prospect part of this, like every time somebody's coming off an injury, they're always like, yeah, man, feeling good. Head of schedule out here. Because, I mean, you want to be drafted high, so I understand that.
Yeah, it's not going to be like, oh, man, this is really rough. I'm way behind.
I'm struggling here, man. I don't know. But, you know, there were videos coming out of him kind of like running around. So maybe he'll be ready come time the regular season begins.
That was early January, right? Or was it December 31st or whatever, right? That he hurt himself?
Oh, he got hurt in the.
No,
in
he
the
got
title
hurt in
game.
The. That's right. That's yeah. right. He got hurt in this the
January.
SEC title game. Yeah.
No, he got hurt in the national title game against Georgia.
Wait a minute.
Mechie went down in the regular season.
Mechie went down in the SEC title game.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Maybe, but that's pretty ambitious. Mid January to. Possible.
September.
It's possible. Ambitious, possible. But certainly contributing as a rookie, mattering as a rookie, that's certainly possible.
Andrew on the text line says, draft AJ's replacement. He can go tweet every 6 seconds somewhere amazing like Detroit while thinking he deserves $25 million a year. This is coming from Andrew on the text line.
Jeez, really?
You going to let the...
That is an opinion.
Best receiver you've had since Derek Mason just walk out the door? At 24 years old?
Well, I'm
also... I get it. Like, I don't know that I'm paying A.J. Brown $30 million a year, but, you know, they're going to have to pay him a lot of money.
I'm now looking at Andrew's text history. There's a lot of trade A.J. and Derrick Henry. So...
There you go.
At least you're consistent, Andrew, with your weird takes.
Although, you talk about restoring the roar. My goodness.
Oh, man.
Get A.J. Brown and Josh Reynolds in there. Up there in Detroit.
How about A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry up there?
Yeah,
huh?
Maybe so.
What might you get back?
Then you could win with
Jared
Goff.
Yes. Maybe you'd get Jared Goff back. Win-win all the way around.
And they talk about it on Hard Knocks this year, too. Be really good stuff.
That's right, Hard Knocks. Gosh, that's some bitterness toward A.J. You can go tweet every 6 seconds somewhere amazing like Detroit. So Andrew doesn't think much of A.J. or Derrick Henry, apparently.
I mean,
they're pretty good.
Yeah, pretty darn good. I mean, AJ's going to make a lot of money. I don't think there's any question about that. And as we talked about earlier, we had Charles Robinson on earlier this week. You know, it's not a guarantee that he's back, given all the different ways the receiver market has gone. Having said that, I would be shocked if AJ Brown is not back as a member of the Titans. Now, keeping in mind, he's under contract for this year, so there's that to remember. But keep in mind, or you know, if they don't come to an agreement on an extension, I would be shocked.
Yeah.
I don't throw the shocked word around there a lot. I would be shocked.
Yeah. No, I think about it, yeah, like Forsberg. I think they're both going to happen. It is possible they don't, but I think they will. Okay, we're going to do this again on the text line. And name yourself coward if you're going to text something like this. If cheerleading is a sport, so is pro wrestling.
Well, cheerleading is actual, like there's not a predetermined result.
Exactly. So, again, there's a couple things here. There's cheerleading, there's competitive cheer.
Correct.
There is a difference. Competitive cheer is one of the most difficult sports anyone could try to do. So, please, if you are uneducated on that, check that out. Most people can't do it. And it's not, there's not a, okay, you guys are going to win this one, and then let's have a script, and then we'll figure it out.
Right.
So, no, you're wrong. Name yourself coward.
Andrew texts me back in and says, I love AJ and Derek, but I would much rather have draft picks. Smiley face emoji. So you would rather have draft picks that then hopefully turn into AJ Brown
because
and
it's
Derek
right
Henry?
Exactly. Who an almost guarantee that they will not be close to that level of player. When you find actually great players, it's probably important to hold on to them. Unless you want to just completely blow everything up, it is fun to think about what the future could be with all these draft picks.
When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. Coming up next, we will get into the wild situation down in Tampa Bay. Bruce Arians out. Was this Tom Brady's doing? We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Todd from Gallatin texting in says, if driving a car in circles is a sport, so is wrestling. People are really struggling with the predetermined outcome part of this. Again, in NASCAR, the race winner is not predetermined. In wrestling, it is. Can't right. be a sport if the winner is predetermined.
I mean,
this is not difficult.
I'm waiting for someone to get on there and say, well, if walking around in polyester pants and hitting a little white ball is a sport, then so is – no, because we don't know who the winners are. Now, granted, some people think all the sports are rigged, so I guess if you –
well, I guess that.
If you're in that
well, like
camp,
college basketball with Coach K.
Right.
It's all
been,
precisely,
it's all been scripted. It's all been scripted, yes. And the Peacocks. You know, Coach Cal got paid off to let the Peacocks win.
Shaheem Holloway, also Seton Hall's new head coach. No yes. surprise there.
Nope. That one was predetermined. That yes. was like pro wrestling. Shaheem Holloway, you will be the Seton Hall next coach. Like the coach who left there, Kevin Willard, was telling people like, I can't wait till Shaheen's the next coach here before he actually left the job. So yes.
Brennan, yeah, come on, people. On the text line says, I'm not even a Titans fan, I'm a Steelers fan, but I love listening every day at work. My thing is everyone's trashing AJ. I doubt he wants to play for someone that's trashing his name. This is coming from Brennan on the text line. I think it's very few Titans fans.
Yeah.
I don't think this is anywhere near the overwhelming majority.
Yeah, I would think not. I mean, everybody, hey, that's why it's great. Everybody can have their opinion, and it's, and you know what? I appreciate people who aren't just going with the group think. But that's a pretty dumb opinion, if I don't say so myself. But I respect you. I respect your right to have a dumb opinion. There are people on this station who do it every day. Not naming names.
Robbie Stanley?
I wasn't going to rip you like that, you know. I usually take it off the air when we scream at each other.
Our two-hour pre-show meeting is intense, man.
Oh, man. You guys should see the way we throw stuff at each other as we... Then you get the red rant going.
I do not hold the door open for Joe Rexroad. John, the mailman on the text line, says, I'd love to see some of these wrestling haters step into the ring and try to take a bump. Coming from John. See, this is the problem with having this discussion.
Again.
Then it turns into wrestling haters.
Exactly.
They're great athletes.
No,
it's not a sport.
It's amazing. No, look, the stuff they do, we just watched this Pat McAfee thing. I mean, he's throwing this dude on the table. He smashes into the – like, they get hurt. And they are tremendous athletes. I have paid money at Kellogg Arena in Battle Creek, Michigan to watch WWF wrestling in the 1980s, and I had a blast. And I got a Leaping Lanny Poffo autograph on a Frisbee.
People are upset about
this. I could never picture you at a wrestling.
Oh, we had a blast. George Animal Steel was biting the turnbuckle. I mean, you know. So these men and women are incredible athletes. It's great entertainment. Awesome. All I'm saying, I don't want it on the ticker like it's an actual competition that wasn't prearranged. That's it.
People are struggling with this, man. Jim on the text line says, I guess by the unnamed texter is concerned, Cirque du Soleil is a sport as well. It's coming from Jim on the text line.
Nice.
Maybe so.
Yeah. That's kind of a good comparison.
Vincent and Dixon says, wrestlers are athletes, wrestling not a sport. I like the emphasis on that too.
Yeah, good stuff. Yeah, that's good. Wrestling is real. People are fake. LOL.
There you go.
Okay.
All righty.
That works.
This, you know,
every day's a
keep
day.
Keep this in mind. Yes, keep this in mind for the summer. We need.
Yeah, we'll get back into this.
We need to kill some time.
On July 18th, we'll get back into this.
Get Chase on, here.
Debating whether or not wrestling is a sport. Yeah. People are apparently very fired up about this.
Mm-hmm.
Some weird stuff going on down there in Tampa Bay. So let's just follow the off-season pool for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady retires. He rides off into the sunset. He's got his post thanking everybody on Tampa Bay. He makes the entire region of New England upset for not really mentioning them at first. He's retired, riding off into the sunset. Bruce Arians is talking about Blaine Gabbert and, you know, Kyle Trask, the quarterback position that they have, saying Blaine Gabbert, you know, hey, he's just never really had a good opportunity. The teams he's been on have not been good teams, and let's see what he could do with a good team. You know, maybe not acknowledging that maybe the reason some of these teams sucked is because they had Blaine Gabbert quarterbacking their teams. But
just a coincidence.
I digress from that point. And then we get to the point where Brady's over there in England. He's talking to Ronaldo. The Instagram video comes back where you can kind of faintly hear him saying, yeah, I don't know, might be coming back. And then the next day he announces that he's coming back to the NFL, coming back to the Tampa Bay Bucs. And a couple weeks later, Bruce Arians is now out as head coach of the Bucs. He has become a senior football assistant for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Todd Bowles, now the head coach down there in Tampa Bay. What do you make of this timeline? The way the offseason has gone for the Bucs, and I'm going to ask this question to you. Did Tom Brady, in your mind, have Bruce Arians forced out as head coach of the Buccaneers?
I don't know. I could buy it. And even so first of all, Peter King wrote a piece on this. Peter King broke the news. And I think Bruce Arians had a compelling quote in there about basically giving Todd Bowles this opportunity while he has the juice to do it. And how he was going to retire in a year anyway. So, I mean, it adds up. It's a good story, and I appreciate how Bruce Arians has looked at hiring his staff. But even, like, the job he's doing, you know, if you think about that, doesn't it almost feel like the Bucs are like, look, Tom doesn't want you as a coach. We'll pay you for another year to do this fake job. I mean, if he's just like, you know what, I'm leaving this in his hands, wouldn't he just leave?
You would think.
I mean, it's just like the job, this new job he has feels like a concession from the Bucs.
Yeah.
To pay him for another year.
We'll still
because,
keep you around.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. But it's weird. There's no doubt about it. And it because also... Look, people can change. I mean, people can change their minds. One month, you know, one day you're all in on something, and a month later, like, it's like, you know what? Actually, I'm done. That can happen. I mean, like, when people retire, sometimes they've had it in their mind for 2 years, but sometimes it is pretty sudden. So that's possible. But Bruce Arians did not seem like a guy on the verge of retirement at the combine less than a month ago. So it's weird. And, you know, I know Tom Brady. Almost like Brady's, what was it, Instagram?
Yeah, it was a big, TikTok. Long Instagram post from Tom Brady.
Very complimentary. It almost felt like overcompensating, yeah. Too, didn't it?
Yeah. Like, I really don't like this guy.
Incredible whatever he said.
I guess I probably shouldn't say that. Maybe it's not that he doesn't like him. But there were some rumblings at the end of the season about, you know, that relationship at the end of last season maybe wasn't in the greatest spot.
Yeah.
And now that this has happened, the timing is very interesting on all this. Like, it's March 31st. You got the draft coming up in less than a month. And now you've just decided with Brady back. That's the other thing that's weird about this. Like, he's back. You have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl. And you're still going to be in the game, but you're walking away from the head coach part of that. Doesn't make sense to me. But, hey.
Right. You came back. You've got this opportunity. Now he's back. Oh, it's actually an opportunity again. Like if this happened, obviously, like without Brady, then it'd make total sense. Like,
sure.
I just realized that Blaine Gabbert's not very good. Thank you.
Blaine was in the building the other day, and he threw a pass intended for Chris Godwin, and it hit the tree behind the practice field. Okay.
Yeah. So that would make sense. This is, very weird. And you know, in that case, of course, you'd be leaving Todd Bowles with not a great situation. Now, he does have, I mean, this is good for Todd Bowles. You got a team that could contend. It'll be interesting to see if anything else comes of this, you know, from a league reporting perspective. Obviously, Arians, you know, wanted Peter King and Sam Farmer to have it first. He gave them his side of the story. It's a compelling explanation, but I don't think most people are going to be fully satisfied with it.
Well, now, I mean, the good part of this is good for Todd Bowles. You've got an opportunity now as a head coach to take over a team that should be pretty darn good. I mean, you're looking around the rest of the NFC South right now, and by the way, you dodged the Deshaun Watson bullet, him getting traded to the Falcons or the Saints, and right now the quarterback of the Falcons is Marcus Mariota, the quarterback of the Saints is Jameis Winston, and the quarterback of the Panthers, I guess, is Sam Darnold right now, or maybe Cam Newton, or maybe somebody they draft.
You're not afraid of all those number one and number two picks?
I don't think so. He's probably going to be in a good spot.
Pretty amazing, right?
Yeah, it is pretty
two
amazing.
Ones and a two, and you're like, oh, yes.
Well, and potentially, like, they could take Malik Willis coming up, so it'd be like a six.
Yeah. Yeah, two ones, a two, and a six, and you're feeling good.
Yeah. I got a text that says, Brady is a workaholic. Arians is an alcoholic. That's not very nice to say. Tom wasn't going to come back and do another year of that. A lot of cheap shots today on the text line. This is the most cheap shot day on the text line we've had in a long time.
No doubt.
What's going on around here?
I mean, if we talk about Ursay coming up, I fear for what the text line is going to become.
It's been rough today on the text line. Got another text that says, I think this was Terry on the text line, it says, wrestling is a sport, pro wrestling is a soap opera. I could buy that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, at no point did we ever say actual wrestling is not a sport. At no point. Okay. I just want that clarified. Yeah, we're talking pro wrestling.
Again, we'll resume this conversation July 18th.
Yeah.
Mark it down.
That and also your Mount Rushmore of fake pro wrestlers yes. That day.
Put it in your calendar, July 18th. Don't even know if that's a weekday. I guess we'll look.
Even if it's a weekend, we're going to have a show, a special weekend show, just to do that.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Jim Irsay comments that he made. Apparently a lot of attention being paid to the Tennessee Titans by the Colts owner. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.